Flying Talkers, brought to you today by the people of ATC. From Frankfurt, Germany to the world, with offices open everywhere, ATC is the reliable general services and sales agent, GSSA, for top-rated customer satisfaction. If your airline is delivering service excellence, chances are ATC represents them somewhere. There's no secret sauce here. ATC's extraordinary expertise and service ethic harkens back to a time when results-driven cargo executives were the product of a lifetime of best practices and great training. So contact ATC, one world, one great air cargo GSSA. ATC Aviation can be contacted at atc.aviation.com and tell them Flying Talker sent you. That's atc-aviation.com. This is Jeffrey Arend, and welcome to today's Flying Talkers. We're glad you're here. We have a story for you about a guy that worked for a company for a quarter of a century. When push came to shove, he stood up for the company, but the company didn't stand up for him. I'd like to tell you that story right after this. Once again, welcome to today's Flying Talkers. We're glad you're here. We're back, and as we get uncoiled in 2023, we have another piece of business that was headlines all over the place that's no longer the headlines that they once were, but hasn't gone to bed, hasn't gone away. Remember the price-fixing air cargo surcharges scandal that rocked the global cargo industry? That took place, well, I've been around a lot longer than a lot of people have, but it was 2010. 11 carriers were found guilty. Lufthansa and Swiss threw everybody under the bus and got immunity, while the other carriers were fined big amounts of money. They were fined in Europe, they were fined in America, they were really fined in America. The American deal was a bunch of young, aggressive people at the Department of Justice out to make a reputation for themselves, and they sure as hell did. This thing went on for years and years and years. Appealed, not appealed, it's still going on in some places. It just went on last month in December. Well, guess what? On again, off again, Finnegan. The case went on for 12 years. So while you were putting your kids through grade school, high school, and most of college, if you've been happily married, we hope so, for that long, the airlines have been fighting the price-fixing fines. Now, finally, Air France and KLM have beat the rap. On December 20th, last month, 2022, they were issued an annulment for their $3.9 million fine, according to Linklaters. That's www.linklaters.com. So what about the other ones? Well, one by one, the cases have been annulled. But don't hold your breath. As I said, this has happened before. In 2015, several cases were reversed, but then reinstituted again in 2017 on St. Patrick's Day of all days. Well, they just must love the color green over there. Who knows what's going on? Worth recalling, in all of this was the action of Qantas. As the only carrier that did not challenge the decision. This is what happened. I recall amongst the people sentenced who served jail terms actually went to jail, and most of the names we know still today went to jail. I remember Uli Ogerman. I think he was the chairman of TIAA at that time. I can't recall exactly where he was, but he went in, and it was country club jail, but it was jail. Now, Bruce is gone. He died 25th February 2014 at age 71 in Bradenton, Florida, from complications of renal failure. Bruce was one of the first people to be caught up and convicted in the air cargo price fix scandal. Last time I saw him, he was awaiting the start of a six-month sentence. But since he had recently had a kidney transplant, the feds were giving him a little time to recover, if you could believe that. And that was in 2008. But Bruce met his date with a prison sentence before his date with the Grim Reaper. Bruce McCaffrey attended Harvard Business School and UCLA Executive Program in Business, and like many of us who love America, served during the Vietnam War in Vietnam, and he was a U.S. Army helicopter pilot and infantry officer. After the war, he joined National Airlines, and then he was with Pan American, and then he went to Qantas Freight, where he served for 26 years. I keep saying that because I can't believe how they threw him under the bus. But he ended up as the vice president of freight for North and South America. I knew him when he used to be out in Valley Stream, a community near JFK International, after he had succeeded Gil Philippa and later George Stark as boss of Qantas Cargo USA. He was always by the book, and although a bit distant, he radiated interest in airline history like me. You know, as a veteran of Vietnam, we had something in common, so we always found something to talk about aside from business. I also knew him when Qantas threw him under the bus. The story of my final meeting with Bruce has been close to my heart since it occurred one night close to Christmas 2008, inside that fabulous Oyster Bar at Grand Central Station underneath the Pan Am building in Manhattan on 42nd Street. I remember at that meeting, Bruce looked like hell at his 160 pounds. His body evidenced the two potentially devastating life events. One was recovery from a kidney transplant. His sister had given him a kidney so he could continue living. I just found out a couple of days ago that she's passed. So now they're both gone, but they should rest in peace. And he told me about the day the law enforcement swooped into his offices at Qantas Freight in Los Angeles to gather up information, paperwork, and computers in 2006. He remembered the day he fielded a call from his bosses at the cargo facility to ordering him to report to Qantas headquarters. Upon arrival, a human resource employee flown in from headquarters abruptly told him that his job at Qantas was over, quote, based on performance, end quote. When Bruce argued that his performance reviews were always deemed excellent, and that he led Qantas Freight USA from 15% of total airline throughput to 25% during his tenure of a quarter of a century, and that during his watch he had delivered a budget numbers 24 out of 26 years. The one year those numbers fell short was 2001, that of course was marked by the 9/11 tragedy. The HR type sat there and simply said, "Actually, we don't have to give you a reason." Imagine that. The reason became apparent when Qantas went public the next day with the admission of price fixing and agreed to pay a fine and jettison Bruce McCaffrey. "Maybe I should see it coming. I should have seen it coming," Bruce said when we spoke. Qantas management called me 6 months before I was terminated and offered me a buyout, but I refused. I guess when you look at the landscape of executives in air cargo that are now taking the package and getting out, I should have gotten out then too. I just thought everything would be okay, the way it always was. Even with the ongoing investigation, I thought the Qantas would handle all the price-fixing allegations. They knew how we ran our business. What about my business? I just kept reporting everything that happened in my freight department to my superiors all the time, every time, a permission for everything, just as before. Bruce McCaffrey was the first fall guy for the first giant international investigation witch hunt. At the time, the U.S. DOJ was reportedly looking to convict some Qantas people headquartered in Australia. And then they realized they couldn't be extradited to the United States. Testimony from two Qantas freight employees that was obtained by DOJ turned out to be, in truth, nothing more than the word of a couple of low-level types who were promised immunity. Bruce, DOJ was told, had issued instructions to secure information concerning rates from competitor airlines. As the charges stacked up in front of him, Bruce learned that in order to defend himself against an international law enforcement frenzy, he would have to put up all he had and more. He faced the demand of raising an impossible $500,000, the kind of money airline people just don't have, to defend himself with no guarantee of success. Qantas refused to help or support him in any way other than to say that if he fought the case, quote, and won, that they would share in his legal fees, end quote. I wonder where that leaves him right now. So Bruce McCaffrey, in total survival mode, agreed to cooperate with law enforcement, serve time, and pay a fine. A lot of people did that. They figured, well, the hell, I'll just get into it. It's slap on the wrist kind of a thing, and I'll get out of it. But Bruce was a principled guy, and he didn't do anything except his job, which he asked for permission to do anything. I can tell you how I found him in the years that I knew him. Yeah, I sat and thought about that last time I saw Bruce out in West Imperial, 6555 West Imperial Highway at Lax, just down the stone's throw away from the wonderful old hangar that they used in the movie Casablanca, that's operated by DHL. So glad we were able to save that building back in the 80s when it was recognized that West Imperial would be redeveloped into all these great cargo hangars, but the old antique original LAX airport hangar from the 1930s would also be saved by a cargo company, which was totally unheard of at that time. But anyway, so that was down the way from Bruce McCaffrey's place, and it was a 50,000 square foot facility. Not a giant one, but a nice looking one, very handsome looking one, modern looking one, that was put up, that Bruce put together, the Villanova finance major. He did watch his money. Bruce built that in 1994 when he was riding high and delivering about 25% of the comparable cost of similar construction to Los Angeles. He came along and did that. Always had an eye on watching the bottom line for Qantas, that was for sure. there are such things, you big corporations. Flying Talkers podcast brought to you today by your friends at PayCargo, the better way to pay and to save time and money. You see, PayCargo has a better idea. By simplifying the payment process to more than 3,000 vendors, cargo moves faster. PayCargo saves you time and money by expediting important data and funds to ensure rapid release of your cargo. Maybe best of all, you get the time to build your business assured that the PayCargo team is with you, providing trackable, tangible results every step of the way. So why wonder why most shipments in the PayCargo system get released in as little as 1 hour? Go to www.paycargo.com and explore a whole new way to pay and get paid. PayCargo offers flexible payment options and also available credit lines. And as the number one online platform in the world for cargo payments, www.paycargo.com can offer you a level of service, financial expertise, and connectivity that makes it easy to ship, click, and pay. So go to www.paycargo.com and get the rest of the story. Discover how PayCargo simplifies a better way to pay and get paid. And tell them Flying Talkers sent you. That's www.paycargo.com. Great people to do business with. We have a saying here in New York: if wishes were conishes. I thought about that saying when Bruce kind of looked up at the top of the oyster bar, the beautiful wood paneling. And he just kind of wandered into space. Maybe I should have taken the package. There he sat. But he loved what he did, and he was always proud of the work. And he always delivered on budget for Qantas Freight. I remember he was always very positive about getting the product right and delivering value for money. Somehow he managed to live another 6 years after losing everything, or almost everything except his determination not to back down. I never made a major decision that was not checked out at with headquarters, he said, so I'll be damned if I'll allow these charges against me to determine my life, Bruce told me, and he never did. So now, what happens? Individuals we know still working in air cargo that I talked to, they paid by going to jail because of policy endorsed by their companies. So against the possibility that maybe that's all she wrote about air cargo price fixing, we wonder if the entire scandal was driven in some part to make lawyers' reputations. Sharing some thoughts early in 2023, the most senior and knowledgeable air cargo executive alive in the world today Mr. Bill Bosch, who served as president, American Airlines Cargo, the one that made the difference and put them on the international cargo routes of the world with guys like Dal Sherman and some other people, Jennifer Pemberton and their marketing department. They had a hell of a group over there. When Malkin wrote a book for American Airlines on the history of their air cargo, their pioneering air cargo, I won't go into it now, but Mr. Bill Bosch, he was their president when it made a difference. He also came out of Seaboard World Airways and top management at Pan American, Clipper Cargo, and many others. I mean, all of it. Part of EnviroTainer, did a lot of different things. It's just DHL, you name it. Today he's working on the U.S. military, delivering vaccine all over the world and other supplies. He said the price-fixing reality with the airlines was pricing like shadow boxing, an art of the game, if you will. When as airlines, we had immunity from pricing as members of IATA, we used to go to meetings, agree on a price, and then undercut each other in order to get the business, thinking that the airlines would agree on a price and then stick to it was absolute, utter nonsense. Bruce was the fall guy, and quite frankly, his company didn't back him the way they should have. In the first place, it's almost impossible to prove price fixing unless you can see all the airlines had the same price and didn't give lower prices for volume. Also, contract prices started at the point, and each contract was different. So, how do you prove that the airlines all got together and decided on the price? Bill Bosch wondered. Okay, so this is Jeffrey Aaron, thanking you for your time this time. Until next time, keep them flying, air cargo. And good night, Joe. You guys up there playing cards or something? This is Jeffrey Aaron.
Speak to him.
Good, Lou.